Well, it's Pentecost Sunday, that's the first thing. What on earth is that all about? Why is it important? Well, it's a major Christian festival, really. It's on the par with kind of Easter, Christmas, but it's often been overlooked, and evidently in society, of course, it's often overlooked. What is it about? Well, why should we celebrate? What's so special? Well, it's special because on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon the disciples of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God, which is really God's power, God's presence, descends upon the gathered disciples. And this is a moment of complete and utter unrivaled transformation. The world will never, ever be the same again. From this moment on, I exaggerate not. What is it that happens? A blowing wind, says the New Testament, flows through the house and tongues of fire fall upon the disciples. And those men, which are the men that are featured because of the patriarchal culture this is written in, who were previously timid and shy, insecure, nervous, scared people, are now bold evangelists and preachers in the crowded marketplace of Jerusalem. God has shown up in a dramatic way, and as the power of God is poured out upon his people. Why is any of that relevant to you and I? Firstly, it reminds each of us that without the power of God, we can do no thing. We can do nothing. What this, as a congregation and every church, needs is not more plans, actually not even more money, but a move of the power and presence of God. Because that changes everything. Changes everything. The Spirit of God is poured out upon the disciples and they come alive. And they're transformed both in their character, who they are, and in their abilities, what they do. Character-wise, these were people that were sheepish, timid, nervous, who just a few weeks before have fled in fear of the thought of being rounded up as Jesus was crucified. Now, something has happened. And for me, this is one of the key kind of anchor points for me in believing in the reality of the Christian faith. Something has changed. No longer are these timid, shy, retiring characters, but they're bold, fearless, confident extroverts. Speaking with passion and with energy, the words of the gospel to anybody that will listen. Their character has been utterly transformed. And then in terms of ability, these are simple manual laborers from Galilee. Galilee was kind of looked down on as this kind of backward place full of simple people. Okay, when I moved to Derby, one of our good friends, there we are, I can't wait for this. One of our good friends who now lives in Bristol, said to us, "The East Midlands, that's the land that time forgot." It's a prophetic word. No, it's not, all right? And, it's kind of like she was saying, "The East Midlands, who'd want to go there? It's just sort of backward people are in the East Midlands." It's true. it's not. But, you know, I described, somebody asked me where Burton on Trent was the other day, and I described it as the armpit of Derby. All right? And I thought it was funny as well. Somebody else did that. Yeah. Getting almost charismatic here today. My apologies to the 10 people that live in Burton that are now hating me even more. But, people looked down upon Galilee, and they thought it was this kind of simple place that simple people came from. Yet what happens, suddenly from nowhere, these straightforward manual laborers are speaking other languages. Their ability, the character has been transformed, so they're bold and fearless, but their ability has been transformed too, so that the whole city, and Jerusalem was packed with different nations for this festival, hear the good news of Jesus who died and who rose again. And that is at the heart of everything that is going on here. The Spirit is poured out upon the disciples gathered. The power of God falls upon the disciples. They are transformed in character and ability. Why? So that in their preaching, in their witness, in their actions, in who they are and in what they do, the Lord Jesus in their midst and in their lives might be exalted, presented, and honored in the midst of the people. And the work of the Holy Spirit's principle, well, the principal work of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus, who is the Son of God, through whom we give glory to God the Father. So the Spirit is poured out to glorify the Son and point, illuminate, focus on him so that he might be presented and lifted up among the people. And Jesus said, when he is lifted up, he will draw people to himself. In fact, draw all people to himself, he said. So here, the Spirit empowers witness to Jesus. In this context, tongues are then released in the form of languages so that the gospel could be proclaimed and understood. And in our context, God is wanting to do nothing less than the same. God is wanting to do nothing less than the same. Release his power among his people. Not that we then might feel warm and fuzzy and have a charismatic knees up, but so that the church of God might be alive with God's power and the name of Jesus lifted up. It's God's desire, God's heart, to do nothing less than the same. The Spirit of God is poured out and points on to Jesus. Secondly, this is an inclusive passage. Peter gets up and empowered by the Spirit, speaks to the crowd. What does he say? He speaks in language they understand. Jerusalem was full of Jews gathering for Pentecost, similar to what, you know, some harvest festival type festival. And so Peter quotes the prophet Joel, familiar to Jewish hearers. And Joel spoke the word of the Lord after the return of God's people from exile years before. And what he did in that time was to challenge the people about their need to repent, put behind them their foolish ways, ways that dishonored God, turn around from those and turn to God. And the portion that Peter quotes here is the promised reward after you've done that. The promised reward after a life lived in fellowship with God. And it's a wonderful promise. It's all-encompassing. It is inclusive. The life of God will flow again through the people. As they walk closely with God, they will know his presence and power with them. Now it's in the form of the Spirit. And no one is excluded from that potential promise. Sons and daughters, Peter quotes. Young men, old men, servants, powerful men and women. In fact, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, says Joel, will be saved. It's this wonderful inclusivity that runs through the whole narrative of this event. The disciples, as you can see on the screen, verse 1, they were all together in one place. There's languages for every nation under heaven, all again. And the life and the power and the presence of God is not for a specific nation, not for a specific type of person, not for respectable people, not just for the church, but for all. So that everyone... And in the original text, everyone means everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, rescued. We call on the name of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Peter goes on to explain that it is through Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again by God's power, this same power poured out on the church in this passage, that we call on God and know his salvation. Because Jesus Christ came to earth to rescue you, to win you, to capture your heart. Jesus Christ died for you. Died so that all of your mistakes, all of your bad choices, all of your mess, all of your sin, all of my mistakes, all of my mess, all of my sin might be forgiven by God. Jesus Christ rose again for you. Rose again to show you that a new start is possible. That new life is yours if you want it. A life lived in God's power and strength. And so that means then that whoever you are, and whatever you've done, and wherever you've been, whether you're a baby not yet a year old, like Zach, whether you're a great grandparent of many years, like half of you,
Whatever your background, whatever your race, whatever your status in society, wherever you come from, even if it is the armpit of Derby, you can call on the gracious, loving, powerful name of the Lord. You will, if you do so, find yourself saved and rescued and loved and forgiven and free. Anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Peter preaches this to all who will listen, and I do the same today, less powerfully and probably less eloquently, with gladness and with delight. And as we welcome folk into the life of the church today, whether it's a baby boy, whether it's saints of God a little bit older, we do this because in so doing, we reflect that the arms of God are open wide. Jesus died for all. Jesus died for all. And invites, therefore, all to life with and in him. And then lastly, and I'm coming into land, I promise, the cake is almost upon us. As we've said, the Spirit is given to exalt the name of Jesus so that people might know him and engage with him. But the Spirit is given to empower God's people actually to mission to the world. Because as we promote the name of Jesus, we are missioning to the world. You get the kind of the logic. And so the Spirit of God energizes that mission, sends us, empowers us, equips us to live in the world faithfully to God's honor and glory and speak of the difference Jesus has made for us. Last week we had, for those that are part of the church here, we had our general church meeting. It's the highlight of my year every year, I can assure you. And that was sarcasm. But what was great is that we asked a question which was discussed in groups, and I'm sure there was very wide-ranging discussions, which is always healthy and helpful. But we asked one question: what have you learned in the last 5 years? Or what have we as a church learned in the last 5 years? And it was with great delight. I'm not suggesting that this wasn't known before at all, but it was with great delight that group after group after group after group said, you know, we're more passionate about mission and evangelism now. We're passionate about reaching our community. We're passionate about looking outwards. We're passionate about being inclusive. Passionate about those things. And I went away. I had to drive to Newcastle afterwards. I was driving up the car thinking, God, you know, maybe I've made a difference. Maybe. Because the Spirit, you know, and I loved it. Because the Spirit of God is poured out on the people of God, propelling us to the world. Not that we're an enclave and the world is all out there, but propelling us into our everyday lives, into our families, into our streets, into our neighbourhoods, into our workplaces, where empowered by the Spirit of God, we live lives that honour the name of Jesus. And people might therefore be attracted to him. You know, church, we exist for those who are not yet our members. The whole point, whole reason for being is for those who have not yet come to discover the wonder of Jesus for themselves. We don't do that with a judgmentalism that thinks we're better than anybody else, but we do that with a sense of privilege that says, wow, we have discovered something amazing. How can we help others to discover something for themselves? And we do that in a whole host of ways. Yesterday, is Kat, you said, yeah. She'll love me for humiliating her, well, not for pointing her out in front of the whole church. But Kat's our media intern. And so she's the person that runs our Facebook page. And yesterday she put this lovely little picture, perfectly timed, just as Prince Harry and the Duke of Sussex, sorry, whatever he's called now, and his beloved wife tied the knot. There was this lovely little heart-shaped, piece of rope in a heart shape. Lovely. Stuck on our Facebook page. A few people have shared it. About 500 people have already engaged with that post. All right? So, simple little way where we're seeking to engage those not yet our members. Whether it's our youth work, engaging with families, whether it's things like Messy Church or Tots during the week, whether it's Sycamores at the other end of the age spectrum, whether it's in a whole host of things that people are doing. And if I excluded anything, that wasn't a deliberate thing. It's, you know, we're engaging with people all over the place. That's great. It's part of God's heart for us to engage with people and to build relationship with them and to love people because God loves them. It's vital. But folks, there comes a point, just as Peter said it to the gathered crowds in Jerusalem, where we go a bit further than just engaging and in fact call people to follow the Lord Jesus. Not force them, not coerce them, not manipulate them, not bash them over the head with it, but say, this is how we live. We're living after him. We love him. Do you want to love him too? And so in the promises that we made for both Zach and for those new members as well, we made a promise. Whether we're friends and family, whether we're part of the church here, whether we straddle those two groups and others, that we will maintain the life of the church in order that it might be a powerful witness to others. So that actually, Luke writes that Peter says, this promise is not just for you, but for your children and for your children's children. That Christ died for all, that welcome of all, is a message not just to be held to ourselves, but passed on from generation to generation. We will maintain the life of the church in order that those not yet our members will discover the wonderful grace of God. How do we do that? We're right back to the very beginning. We cannot do it without the power, the presence of God. On that, we depend, each of us, to live after Jesus, even to draw us to Jesus. And for the church, that is our energy. That is our power. That is our inspiration. That is our battery life, so to speak. Spirit, power, presence of God. Shall we stand together? Let's bow our heads. Spend a couple of seconds in quiet where we are. Don't worry if children make a noise, that's fine. Just still ourselves, still our minds. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would pour out your Spirit upon this gathering. Pray in our lives you might draw us closer to Jesus. In our lives you might help us to honour him more. And in the life of your church, we would know more of your power and presence that propels us into where you have placed us to live for your praise and glory. And as always, Father, we invite that ministry of the Spirit now just to sift our hearts and minds. And if there is anything that's been said this morning that is especially for us, we pray, Lord, that you would help that just to nudge away at us, just to lodge in our soul and spirit, our mind, and to keep coming back to us in the next days. But always, if there's stuff that is mere human oratory, which has been unhelpful or distracting, we ask that that be quickly forgotten, that it would fall away to the ground and die. And in all things, Father, pour your Spirit out, empower us to live more for you, our Lord and our King. We pray in the name of Jesus.